Hey, let's get with it, San Diego. Welcome into a new week of Gwynn and Chris. Happy Monday to you out there. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park, where the Padres will tee it up again once this evening against the Cincinnati Reds, starting a three-game series. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. We will be with you until about 5:30 or so today before we get to a Padre pregame show, and then tonight's ball game with Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon on the call. Tony Gwynn Jr. going to be heading over to the TV side this evening. Is this to try and change the Padres' luck, Tony Gwynn Jr.? Is this a strategic move?
No strategy involved. This was on the schedule.
On the schedule. All right. Well, you'll do a little TV tonight, and we'll have Jesse and Scan on 97.3 The Fan. Before we start tearing apart the San Diego Padres, let me try to put a couple of things in perspective for you. Over the weekend, the 3-22 Chicago White Sox swept the Tampa Bay Rays. So the White Sox are now 6-22. I also want to point out that the powerhouse Baltimore Orioles had a home series against the lowly Oakland Athletics, and they dropped 2 out of 3. Oh. So it's not just the Padres who are in a bad way and are certainly drawing the ire of their fan base on this Monday afternoon. It was not a good weekend for the Friars. The Philadelphia Phillies came in here and swamped them. I mean, that's it. 9 home runs hit by Philadelphia in the 3 games. Good pitching performances for Philadelphia. Not very good pitching performances for San Diego. Add it all up, and it's an 0-3 weekend, and it's a 4-game losing streak, and the sky is falling. I will just say this, Tony. We talk about so many aspects of Major League Baseball, from situational hitting to running the bases well, to playing good defense, throwing to the right base, executing, managerial decisions, so many little things. But the one thing that we overlook often is just good old everyday starting pitching. And to me, what was proven this weekend is if you don't get that, then the rest of it doesn't really matter. And the Padres didn't get it this weekend, and as a result, the rest didn't matter.
That is part of the recipe of small margins for error.
Yeah.
Right? When you get good pitching and you get all of those ingredients, on most nights, Padres can win by, 2-3 runs. If you don't get that, and one of those falls by the wayside, whether it's starting pitching, whether it's defense, whether it's hitting, you're going to be in a lot of close ball games that you end up on the wrong side of. And that's been the Padres' reality this entire season. Now, I think prior to this series, you had had good starting pitching for most of it, and that wasn't always the problem. Like, so my point is that in this series, it was the starting pitching. In maybe the first two series, it was the bullpen. And then maybe some in the middle series, it was the offense. And so, I think it's a mistake to just hone in on the starting pitching. It was bad this time around, this last three-game series. Remember, I like to measure these things week by week. And, that was a bad week for the Padres. You had the 4 in Colorado. You split there. You had 3 of 4 in your palm. Bullpen had a rough one that day. Before that, I believe it was it the offense that didn't produce enough in the second game or the first game of that series?
Second game.
Yeah,
second
game, right? The offense went quiet for the final 5 innings.
Went quiet for the final 5. So, the Padres, quite frankly, Philly was, when you watch that 3-game series, right now on April, 26, 27, and 28, the Phillies were the better team. The starting pitching was money. And even if the starting pitching had not been money, their lineup got hot as soon as they stepped foot in Petco Park. I mean, there was homers every game. They got 2-run shots the last day. They had, what, three-run shots the first 2 days. And so, you know, that's a team that's been to the NLCS in each of the last 2 years at least. And right now in that series, they were better than the Padres.
Yeah, Padres got to figure out a way to you know, perform a little better at Petco Park right now. 6-11 is the home record, and 14-17 they fall a season low, 3 games below .500. Like I said, it is time to be in flux, but it is not time to you know, go into it. Complete panic mode. You've got three with Cincinnati here. You can certainly erase the memories of this weekend very quickly. But, you know, let's go through it, Tony. Joe Musgrove, 3 2/3 innings, 7 runs. Didn't really give his team a chance to win Friday night. Dylan Cease, I thought, at least gave his team a chance. 6 innings, 5 runs. But the way Ranger Suarez was pitching Saturday night, you would have had to pitch a no-hitter to beat him.
Right.
The Padres did not get a runner in scoring position the entire game. And this guy right now is just absolutely unhittable, except for one swing of the bat by Eggie Rosario, which was too little too late. And then yesterday, Michael King, 5 1/3. 6 runs. He gave up 3 home runs. I think what hurt Michael King as much as anything was, you know, the walks. And, you know, look, right now Musgrove and King, I believe, are leading baseball in terms of home runs per 9 innings. Those are not categories you want to be leading baseball in. Got to keep the ball in the ballpark. I'm sure they're the first that would tell you that. Xander Bogaerts pointed it out accurately. We cannot put fielders beyond the fence. So,
is that what he said?
He did. And I think he was kind of joking about it, but it's true.
Right.
And it's especially frustrating when a little bit of a light-hitting guy like Bryson Stott takes you, you know, for 2 home runs yesterday. And Castellanos, who's struggling, you walk him 3 times. And the pitching just wasn't good. Now, I don't normally overreact to bad pitching because I expect in the long run the Padres' pitching is going to be pretty good. But it wasn't good this weekend. And like I said, that's the tale of a sweep. That's how it goes.
I mean, I think Joe, I think Mike, and I think Dylan would tell you if they go out and give up 5 runs, they aren't giving their team a great chance. Now, those type of guys don't expect to go out and give five runs, and very rarely have they done that, you know, throughout their careers. But if they are, and all three of them gave up at least that in each of the starts. I think Dylan was the one who actually gave up 5. Everybody else was over that.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot to be in for, you know, your offense. And, you know, you can't overlook the fact that Phillies lineup is very much cut out of the same cloth as the Dodgers. They may have, as I said this on the air, they might have a little bit more strikeout in their lineup. But all 9 guys can bridge you at any given point. I know Stott may be light hitting, but he's coming off of a pretty good season last year. Yeah. And a terrific playoff run the year before. And so up and down that lineup, if you're not right, they will hurt you. And, you know, I think that time around for those 3 guys, they weren't at their best, and the Phillies offense made them pay. And then on the flip side of that, you happen to run into, at least through April, the best pitching in baseball, or at least in the National League. I haven't seen if that's total, but they're number one in the National League ERA-wise. So they haven't given up much in all of April. And so you really ran into a buzzsaw without even having to see Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, 19-10, Philly's record. The only thing that's keeping them in the NL East is the Atlanta Braves right now. You know, we have to focus a little on Joe Musgrove here. Tony, he's gone from no-no Joe to oh-no Joe, at least through 7 games of this season, 3-3. The ERA, very un-Musgrove-like, 6.94. He's allowing a .326 batting average against him. We talked about the home runs. Where is he scuffling right now? Is it as simple as falling behind? Is it not executing in the strike zone? To me, it's only a matter of time before we start seeing the real Joe Musgrove, but right now we're not seeing it.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough. I'm not sure. I certainly can't speak to it mechanically.
Yeah.
I think you know, just from watching it, it just seems like Joe, in terms of being able to throw the ball where he wants to, hasn't been able to do that as consistently as we're used to seeing. Joe's a pretty well-studied up dude, so I'm sure he knows or has some ideas of what he wants to do to try to rectify it. It may be a quick fix. It may not be. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's been a tough go, at least to start the season, for not just Joe, but, you know, you before he went to the IL. And it's been, you know, a little bit inconsistent for Mike King early on. But it's April. I think Joe's track record says he'll get it figured out one way or another. So will we see Joe in this? Yeah, I think we get him on Wednesday, right?
Should have him in the final game of this series.
So
sure. Yeah.
We'll get to see Joe Wednesday against this ball club. And, you know, for him, it could just take a start for him to get back in on the right track. But he certainly hasn't been himself in terms of location. His fastball might be a tick down than maybe what it was last year. I mean, maybe not even a full mile per hour. But, you know, I think that's all due to the fact that it's still early.
Just a reminder about Joe Musgrove. Last year in the month of April, and he only made two starts in April last year, but those two starts produced a 10.80 ERA. Musgrove, on May the 20th last year, we're still a month away from that, he was 2-4. I beg your pardon. He was 1-2 with a 6.75 ERA.
I think that's shortly, if I'm not mistaken, is that either shortly after the start he had in Mexico City or right before we went to Mexico City? I can't remember. I know it's around that time frame.
That's a good point. Cause
yeah, Mexico City was in April last year.
Okay, so it was just after.
Yes, then he made three more starts in May, and they all were not up to his normal level either.
So
but
after
1-2, 6.75, the guy went 9-1 the rest of the season with an ERA of about 2.
That's the track record
I'm talking about.
That's
the track record, right. Yeah. And you got to believe in that with Joe Musgrove. I know, you know, we could go out there and talk to you fans, and you can say, well, we got to do something. What are we going to do? It's Joe Musgrove. He's given us nothing but quality pitching for four seasons, and I'm pretty sure he's going to give us that again.
That's the thing, is that that's all you can go off of to say otherwise. I mean, otherwise we would just be saying, oh, it's we're headed downhill because it's all we've seen, right? But the fact of the matter is we saw this kind of last year. It may have started a little late because of the toe, but that first 5, 6, 7, 8 starts wasn't, you know, up to his regular standard, and then all of a sudden he got it going.
All right, so Padres, stink it up. That's it. Bottom line, over the weekend, they drop 3, and now the Reds come in 4-3. Left-hander Nick Lodolo on the mound for Cincinnati tonight. Matt Waldron, who has pitched inconsistent but good when he's been on, will start for the Padres. I can certainly use a good one from him tonight. Get back in the win column. Don't let this four-game losing streak get away any further than it is. The Padres have slipped behind the Giants into a tie with the Diamondbacks for third place in the National League West as it stands right now. Coming up on the program today, we will try to get things sorted out for you. What promises to be, I'm sure, an interesting addition to the Padres Pen Pals is coming up in about 25 minutes. So
get ready, guys.
Yeah, I can only imagine that the questions will be coming in hot for the Padres Pen Pal, so we'll be ready for that.
Put on your armor is all I got to
say.
Yeah,
right.
I love hot questions.
Are they going to take shots at us?
I think everybody's on the table.
Everybody's on the table?
Yep.
All right. So, you know, sorry, Tony. I don't think you realize this. You had a very poor weekend yourself. So,
I'm ready.
Yeah, be ready. Mark Sheldon from MLB.com will be on in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll break down the Reds a little bit with him. Chris versus the fans, the Big 5 Daily Gambit. It's all coming up on another edition of Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
2:21 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scravey. Everybody licking their wounds a little bit after the Phillies came in here and swept us. I'll just keep it PC.
Yeah, you know,
point.
I want to just address one quick thing, though.
No.
And this isn't on Bryce Miller. He's our guy. Columnist, San Diego Union Tribune. Wrote about how the Padres need to play a little better against good teams. You know, notably the Phillies this weekend did not play well enough to win those games. But whoever wrote the headline that said the Padres need to start winning games against good teams has a really short memory. The Padres, a week and a half ago, took a series from the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Brewers back to back to back. All three are good teams.
Right.
You know, it's incredible how quickly people forget stuff. They played terrible this weekend. They didn't match up with the Phillies this weekend. But to say that the Padres can't beat a good team is ludicrous. Ludicrous.
Yeah,
they got to play well, but they, you know, don't tell me they can't beat a good team. They just did it a little while ago.
Yeah,
come on.
You know, it's I don't want to say it's shock effect, but you know,
you're right.
As you said, they've beaten good teams this year. They just didn't play good this week. And week they played good 3 out of 4 games in Colorado, and they didn't play any good games here against Philly. And that's just they played okay yesterday. I should say that they offensively swung the bats. They came out. They made that a competitive game, but they fell short. That is that's not a good week. That's what, 2-6 on the week, right? 2-5
on
the week
officially.
Yeah, 2-5 on the week.
2-5. So you know nothing that 5-2 week can't fix.
Yeah, new week. I don't know how they would classify the Reds. They certainly, at least from a record standpoint, better than the Padres right now. So
yes, right. Padres can't beat them. They're over 500. That's
right.
Silly.
So. That's going to be how this season goes. There are going to be times where they play good. There's going to be times where they play bad. Hopefully, there are a lot more times where they are playing good than versus when they're playing bad. But right now, that's not one of those times.
No, Petco Park, you got to do, you know, we talk about it all the time, but if you're going to have a successful winning season, you know, playoff season, you want to, you know, be a little over 500 on the road, but you want to make some hay at home. And right now, the only home team that has more losses than the Padres is the Marlins. They're 2-14 at home.
Small sample size.
But it's a small sample size, but you want to get this turned immediately.
No doubt. Right
know?
Now, Matt Waldron has been much better on the road than he has been at home. Is there anything to that? I don't know. He just threw well in Colorado, where I don't know that anybody thought it was going to necessarily go great in that place. It did. He threw the ball well against the Dodgers in L.A. But he hasn't had that same kind of success here at Petco Park. Hopefully that can change a little bit today. Listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam will cover everything going on with the Padres. Find it at 973thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Good news, ladies and gentlemen. Major League Baseball is finally addressing the uniforms. Yes, indeed. And it took the Players Union to finally call somebody out about it. They didn't... They didn't hold back. They basically came out and said Nike messed this one up. They didn't want to listen to anybody. They virtually said Nike's answer to them when the players begin to tell. And I know this because I've talked to some of the players. This has been a process in the making over the past like 3 years, where they've been trying these things and players have been telling them, "Hey, this ain't working. I don't think this is a good idea." And they, you know, they kind of just nodded their head, like, "Oh, okay, we'll make some adjustment." No, never making adjustments. And Major League Baseball said basically Nike told them that the players just were going to have to adjust. Well,
wow,
it looks like
that went over well.
It looks like they will no longer be adjusting. Now, the kicker is this is probably the unis are probably going to not probably going to remain through 2024. Next year is when the actual changes will be modified. Everything from the teeny tiny letters on the back of the jerseys to the mismatching grays that they have across the league.
What
as
about the
well,
pants, the see-through pants?
I think they're. See, I don't know. I don't know if
well,
I saw the see-through.
Oh, okay,
I
don't know. Good. I was. Just
I don't know how the see-through part's going to work, but I do know that the other issue is that apparently this innovative. I think the quote in the story was, Nike tried to innovate something that didn't need to be.
It's exactly. Need to be, yeah. didn't need to be innovated.
But the other thing apparently about these new innovations are they hold a ton of sweat. Like it just you can't get rid of it. And so that will also be addressed in these new uniforms.
Now, how long is it going to take to ship the new uniforms out? The quote new and improved uniforms arrived rather late for a lot of teams.
Yeah, no, they just started coming in. Well, the good thing is they got about a year to kind of figure this part out in terms of logistics and where it's going to need to be shipped to, how it's going to get there. That will all – they have some time. They have some time to get it done. So – hopefully, you know, next year we'll be back to the numbers that you don't have to have a set of binoculars in order to see who is coming into the game. And the players will be happy again.
Yeah, and don't forget that Fanatics has been let off the hook for this whole thing.
I mean, they went out of their way to take Fanatics out of
the... They said they were just doing what they were told to do. Do not blame them.
There's a piece of me that wonders, huh? Why is Fanatic catching no strays at all, and Nike is just getting pummeled?
They really were. Because the CEO, like months ago, was like, "It's not our fault. We're just doing what Nike tells us to do."
But he was pretty adamant about it.
He was, and I understand why. But it's also like, well, you know, you are in partnership with everything, so your brand name is
attached to them.
Exactly.
Oh, does that mean there's a lineup?
That does mean there's a lineup.
Oh, that means, let me go ahead and pull it up.
All right.
We do indeed have a lineup. You guys ready for it?
Yes.
I'm ready for it.
Jerickson Profar, who, by the way, you'll be able to catch him on the MLB Network here. I don't know at what time, but I saw him down here taping, so you'll be able to catch him at some point. My guess is around 3 o'clock, but we'll see. Jerickson Profar in the leadoff spot. Fernando Tatis Jr., Jake Cronenworth, first base. Manny Machado, third base. Xander Bogaerts, second, batting fifth. Ha-Sung Kim slides to the sixth spot. He'll play shortstop. Eggy Rosario, the designated hitter in tonight's action. Jose Azokar will patrol center field. And Kyle Higashioka behind the dish for the Pods.
Higashioka has become the personal knuckleballer.
Yeah. I thought that might be in question because he got the start yesterday, but back-to-back starts for him as he – I'm not willing to say he is the knuckleballer's personal catcher at this point, but we certainly are walking down that path.
Here's another path we're walking down. Where are all the critics of Mike Shildt for keeping Xander Bogaerts in the leadoff spot? Because here he is now. He's batting fifth. Is everybody happy out there? I doubt it.
No, I doubt they are.
I don't know if they're happy or not, but, you know, we were at about the 100 at bat kind of number.
Threshold. So
that's a kind of time where you can maybe reevaluate it without making a crazy, knee-jerk reaction. You know, I think that it was plausible at this point to move them. you know, the offense had finally started to sputter a little bit, right? And then he hadn't quite gotten going yet. So now you're moving him just as much to try to get him going as you are, you know, moving him out of the leadoff spot. So, but to your point, Chris, I don't know if anybody was happy about it. I just assumed everybody was jovial since they didn't
want him in
the first
place. I saw a lot of people very a big fan of that move.
Yeah, and guess how many games they've won since they did that?
I mean, what is it, two games?
It doesn't matter. That's the overreaction that everybody else has, so I'll overreact to
this.
But
I think Jurickson Profar got on base right out the gate.
Which is nothing new for Jurickson Profar. That's what he's been doing literally all season long, whether he's hit 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th. He just, that's Jurickson. I think it's more entertaining to watch Jurickson continue to ball through the month of April when, you know, not very many people were calling for him to be a starting left fielder. I admit, I wasn't in calling for that, but I love to see you guys come in and have some success. I think he genuinely loves this place, too. I think that makes it so much more fun to watch him have the success he's having, because this isn't his actual home, right? I mean, for him to say what he said earlier a couple weeks ago when he was talking about this feels like home to him, and he's experienced being here as a new player, staying here, leaving, coming back. Even if that was all in the span of a year. But, yeah, man, Jurickson in the leadoff spot. There's your Padre lineup. No lineup yet for the Reds. And
the Red Legs?
Los Rojos?
I started to call them the Red Legs, but then I couldn't remember if that was right. But, yeah.
They actually were way back in the, I don't want to say, 50s, 60s. Just trying to be informative, Scraby. Just trying to give people some information. But during the communist movement, way back when, the Reds did not want to be associated with that.
Smart move.
Were called the Red Legs for many seasons before switching back.
Smart move.
You know, I try to give a little information and you take a shot at me.
Someone's got their feelings hurt.
And as soon as I show up at the ballpark, I think I'm going to come to the game tomorrow, everyone will rush up to me and go, "You got to be nicer to Scraby."
Yep, that happened to Chris this last time,
They forget the shots you take.
Well, no.
Endlessly.
Mark Grant ran up to you and begged you to be nicer to me, and I said, thank you.
He wasn't the only one.
Don Orsillo did it, too. Everybody does it.
Yeah, but I don't listen to them.
Don't listen to real quick. Chevrolet AL NL Players of the Week, Anthony Rizzo for the Yankees, and this guy I'm sure you are happy to see leave this place, Alec Bohm, 567, ooh, 581, 933 were his splits.
It's ridiculous.
He had a 1,500 OPS last week.
It was so funny.
That, he wasn't doing much.
John Kruk and T-Mac came in, and they were like, you know, man, the offense has been just so cold, man. And to watch the three games take place and unfold, I kept looking across into their window as the stuff was going on. I was like, I thought you said that they were cold, because this doesn't feel like a cold team after three games.
It definitely doesn't. It feels like a team that's on fire right now.
Right. All right, let's get to break. I know we have gone well beyond where we need to be. Do I see a PPP coming?
A PPP?
Oh, get Lord. Ready. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. PPP up next.
Whole bunch of cool stuff coming your way on the program today. Marcello, Tony Gwynn Jr. out at Petco Park. Could be on the TV side tonight. You'll be able to enjoy Anthony. Of course, you'll also be able to enjoy Jesse and Scan. They're on 97.3 The Fan. First pitch tonight about 6:40. Matt Waldron will make that pitch for the San Diego Padres. Nick Lodolo, a young left-hander, will start for the Cincinnati Reds. Padres looking to snap a four-game losing streak. And, you know, if I had my way, they would really consider doing that tonight.
snap
the losing streak so that we don't have to come in and trash them again tomorrow, or do our best to keep you from all trashing them tomorrow. I think that's a better way to put it. You're going to have a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see the San Diego Mojo game against the Columbus Fury May 7th at Viejas Arena. You can grab tickets now at provolleyball.com or stick around. We'll give you a chance to win a pair in just a little while. But right now, Tony Gwynn Jr. and I are strapping on our bulletproof vests for your questions in today's Padres Pen Pals.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so I don't think you guys need a preview of what's about to come, so we'll just get right into it.
No, I don't think we need a preview.
No. All right, we're going to start with this one. I'm not someone who complains a lot about the team. I know baseball is a really tough sport, and I know there's still a lot of season left. I just can't get past how offensively inept this team has been over the last couple seasons. Sure, they have scored a lot of runs this year, but when they go into cold streaks, the cold streak is icier than Antarctica. I'm loyal to my team, but it's been tough lately. Chris, you're up first. When you guys watch games, do you have the same feeling some of us do?
I have that same feeling pretty much with every team in baseball, though. I mean, I don't want to get the focus off the Padres. I know the question is, can the Padres hit? The answer is, they've been hitting pretty well this year. You're going to have stretches where you don't hit. And for example of that, I'll just use the story Tony just told me about John Kruk and the Phillies broadcasters telling him that the Phillies can't hit until they got here.
I said T Mac. I meant his name's Tom McCarthy.
Tom McCarthy.
He also does the NFL as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, they said, hey, we can hit. Well, apparently they can. And I heard everybody saying, you mostly, Scraby, that obviously the Phillies can hit home runs. Why can't the Padres?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Well, the Phillies now have exactly 5 more home runs than the Padres do this season. It's not an inordinate amount.
They literally took the lead in the series.
Yes, they were behind the Padres heading into the series. So, yes, would I like to see them score 9 runs a game? Of course, but that's not real. That's not realistic. And they didn't lose this weekend or the first game of the Rockies series. The 4-game losing streak really hasn't been a result of no offense, except for what Suarez did to them Saturday night. But he's doing that to everyone right now.
That's what I tried to say on the postgame show on Friday night. It was Aaron Nola is very good, and he's been very good all season long. Just ran into a great pitcher. Tony, when you're watching these games, do you have some of the same feelings of us? Yeah, you know the question. Never mind.
In terms of how? What's give me the feeling again.
When I was talking to this person, it was more of like, do you guys watch the games sometimes like us, where it's like they go into these cold streaks and you get angry about them being in a cold streak?
You know how crazy that would sound, me doing a broadcast?
No, I know I know
being
that.
Angry.
No,
well, that's,
I know that.
That's how I have to watch the games every day. Now, that being said, I think there are times where it's like, man, can we just got to get something rolling.
Yeah.
But, I it's hard for me to get angry because, and listen, this is a Tony thing. This is a me thing. Because I know how difficult it is. And that's even for the best guy. So there's a piece of me that is sympathetic to the situation. I'm not sitting here saying that that's how our fans need to be. Just as a former player that has done it, I just know I have that respect for it. So, I don't necessarily watch a game like mad. But I do watch the game like those thoughts rolling in my head like, man, this ain't shaping up good, sometimes. Yeah. But, I pride myself on being a pro.
Yes.
Third best record in baseball right now belongs to the Yankees. They're 19-10. They've already been shut out 4 times this year. I'm just saying it's not exclusive to the Padres.
I know. But it does seem like when the Padres go cold, as our writer said, the cold streak is icier than Antarctica.
Well, that's because just the only team you're watching.
No, it's exactly right. I mean, if we were to watch other teams, we would find cold streaks.
It is not a lie that when, at least this year and last year, when they aren't hitting, they're not hitting. It's definitely going to look that way when 2 starting pitchers from the other team go 8 innings. I mean, it's going to look like we're not hitting.
Yeah. All right. thank you for that. Next one. They get a little bit angrier as we go on. So, can you guys stop acting like this team doesn't have major issues? Can you stop acting like these players aren't some of the most coddled players in Major League Baseball? I'm almost like the old type of Padres because I never got my hopes up. Okay, that's not true, but sometimes I do feel that way. I don't understand how a team could underperform so much year after year. Sure, they went to the NLCS, and that was great, but since then they have done nothing. Do the players even care that they're looking like a failure of a team for the second year in a row, Tony?
The first part. What was the first part he said?
Can you guys stop acting like this team doesn't have major issues? Can you stop acting like these players aren't some of the most coddled players?
No. I just wanted the first part first. Okay, we're going to break this down piece by piece.
Sorry.
What is the gentleman's name? Our lady's name?
I'm not giving it.
Oh, okay. Well,
Matt Scraby.
I just want to be able to.
No.
I just want to be
it's
able
actually
to.
Actually, my friend Kevin. Ha ha.
Okay, here we go, Kev. Kev, this is what I'll say to you, man. Clearly, you're not listening to anything that I said because I have made it abundantly clear that this team has very little margin for error, which would then tell you that I don't think that they can just roll into a game and just pummel somebody like that. I think they have to play the right way. In terms of the coddling part, I don't know how you. Was your evidence that they have been coddled? I don't even understand what that means.
It was an irrational comment.
Okay. But listen, the first part, I don't disagree. This team is. What was his words again?
They are underperforming. Oh, do the players even care? They are looking like a failure of a team.
The very, very beginning. Before coddle.
Before coddle. Oh, major issues. Stop acting like this team doesn't have major issues.
Okay, they don't have major issues, but they aren't they're not the perfect team. And so, therefore, you're going to have some things that pop up. I don't know if they have major issues. Going into the season, what do we think their major issues were? They didn't have a left fielder. Through April, that's turned out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other major issue? The starting... end of the rotation?
Yeah.
I mean, Waldron's been, decent for... He's been pretty good. No, he's been better than decent. He's been pretty good for a number five starter. And King has been up and down. And what was the other issue that we had at going into the season?
It would have been depth, like DH depth.
That has been put to the test with Manny. That will be put to the test now with Manny seemingly going to play more third base here at coming up soon. So we'll see. I don't think Kevin was completely off base in this statement, except for the coddle part. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm going to make fun of him for that forever. Chris, do you care that they're looking like a failure of a team for the second year in a row?
That part of the question is idiotic. Sorry, Kevin. But yes, they probably care that they're playing poorly and that they lost three games this weekend. As far as us coddling them, I live to coddle the Padres. I think anybody who's listened to me for going on a couple of decades now knows that I am easily the most homer supporter of the Padres in the history of sports talk radio.
I can't tell if he's being sarcastic or real.
He's being sarcastic.
Of course I'm being sarcastic. Right. I get criticized all the time for being Mr. Negative. Don't tell me that I'm coddling this team. And finally, the Padres cut nearly $100 million from their payroll last year to this year, almost twice as much as any other MLB team. That is going to leave some holes, and that is going to leave a situation where they have to play a little tighter baseball, and as Tony keeps saying, they have less room for error.
Less room for error, yes.
Kevin, get a hold of yourself.
Get a hold of yourself, Kevin! All right, next one. Again, getting angrier. Chris, you're up first. I'm beginning to think Cameron Maben was right. I've been a Padres fan for 30-plus years, and I've always been positive about my team. But ever since Cameron Maben tweeted out that players may play better when fans are harder on them, it got me thinking. I was sitting at the game Saturday night while the Padres were going down hard, and I thought, Cameron Maben is right. No one boos here. No one gives the players a hard time. We kind of just sit here and take it. Chris, is it wrong for me to be harder on the players?
No, you have your right to be hard on this team. Go ahead and boo to your heart's content. But the notion that the fans have to boo in order for the team to be successful is ludicrous and absurd.
Cameron Maben did tell us
they
that,
have been. I don't care what Cameron Maben said. The Yankees have been lousy for the last 15 years, and they get booed harder than any team in baseball. The Mets were the biggest failure in baseball last year, despite the fact that the New York fans are harder on them than elsewhere. The Phillies only recently have been a pretty good team. There were maybe 40 years of my childhood in which the Phillies were a laughing stock. Come on. Silly question.
Come on.
Pile it in with the rest.
All right. Tony, is it wrong for this person to be harder on the players?
No, I think Chris is right. They have absolute privilege to do whatever they feel. But that has not been San Diego folks. We just have never been like that. And, I mean, are we to change it now because the New York Mets fans and Nick Yankee fans are booing and having a little bit of success in April? All I know is when the rain was coming down here in 2022 and everybody was just like, just loving
it. In a euphoric state of emotion.
In a perfect word for it, right? I mean, there was no reason to boo. You just were happy. And you know, that has been the San Diegan fan as long as I've been alive. Now, maybe it was different before 1982, but I don't know. I can only speak on what I've seen in my lifetime. And regardless of whether the team is good, the team is horrible, the team is mediocre, or the team is great, San Diegans have always remained the same. So take that for what it's worth.
Somebody correct me if I'm off by a touch on this, but in the 70s, Tony, before you were around and before I lived in San Diego, the owner of the team, Ray Kroc, once grabbed the microphone and said, "This is the worst team I've ever seen play baseball." I believe the team president, then Chuck Feeney was his name, once grabbed the microphone and swore a blue streak over the PA system and eventually was removed from his job because of it.
Oh my gosh.
My point is, in neither circumstance did it push the team into playing any better.
All right. Last one. Great this is point. From Evan, and this was posted in our YouTube chat earlier during the show. And here we go. There's no real question here. I just wanted to share maybe a fan's opinion. Darvish, inactive. Musgrove, worst in baseball at the moment. King, very hittable, also terrible stats. Cease, our best pitcher. Waldron, check back later. Number 5, yet to be determined. WTF is our pitching. What did we even get back for Soto? Are you all ready to talk about why we have our shortstop in the outfield and our second baseman trying to learn shortstop on the fly? Or are we still seeing how that goes?
What's going on?
I think Xander is handling it all great. And it goes on. But Evan, you know, when I called out Evan, I said, Evan's going through it on the chat. He said, yes, I am going through it. So I appreciated Evan agreeing with me about
that. I feel Evan's pain, man. I really do. I mean, first of all, he pointed out some facts, at least. Roughly, they were facts, right? Mm-hmm, Yu Darvish is on the IL.
Inactive.
Joe hasn't been good. I don't know if he's worst in the league, but okay, we'll let that one
ride.
No,
I'm not going to let him overtake Patrick Corbin. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Patrick Corbin gave up a run the other night, by the way,
are you
against
kidding
the
me?
Dodgers.
He pitched yesterday in a 12-9 loss.
No, I'm saying when we were talking about him the other day against the Dodgers, he didn't.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel his pain. That's just frustration right there. We'll
totally.
Leave it at that because my man Toddy has a platinum glove in right field. I don't know that it turned out to be a mistake. I assume that's who he was talking about, shortstop in the outfield.
Yeah. Can you type that up and save it? Maybe
or he's talking
it back about
Merrill.
About a month from now, see where things stand?
He could be talking about Merrill, but that would be weird because he's doing very well at the center field position.
Yes, so is Todd.
Yes, Chris, I will laminate this for you, and you can look at it every day you come into work.
Good. Laminate it for me. I want to refer to it as the season goes along.
You want to refer to it?
I do.
Okay.
Coming up, hour number 2 includes a daily gambit, also includes a look at the Reds with Mark Sheldon.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so I don't think you guys need a a preview of what's about to come, so we'll just get right into it.
No, I don't think we need a preview.
No. All right, we're going to start with this one. I'm not someone who complains a lot about the team. I know baseball is a really tough sport, and I know there's still a lot of season left. I just can't get past how offensively inept this team has been over the last couple seasons. Sure, they have scored a lot of runs this year, but when they go into cold streaks, the cold streak is icier than Antarctica. I'm loyal to my team, but it's been tough lately. Chris, you're up first. When you guys watch games, do you have the same feeling some of us do?
I have that same feeling pretty much with every team in baseball, though. I mean, I don't want to get the focus off the Padres. I know the question is, can the Padres hit? The answer is, they've been hitting pretty well this year. You're going to have stretches where you don't hit. And for example of that, I'll just use the story Tony just told me about John Kruk and the Phillies broadcasters telling him that the Phillies can't hit until they got here.
I said T-Mac. I meant his name's Tom McCarthy.
Tom McCarthy,
he also does the NFL as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, they said, hey, we can hit. Well, apparently they can. And I heard everybody saying, you mostly, Scraby, that obviously the Phillies can hit home runs. Why can't the Padres?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Well, the Phillies now have exactly 5 more home runs than the Padres do this season. It's not an inordinate amount.
They literally took the lead in the series.
Yes, they were behind the Padres heading into the series. So, yes, would I like to see them score 9 runs a game? Of course, but that's not real. That's not realistic. And they didn't lose this weekend or the first game of the Rockies series. The 4-game losing streak really hasn't been a result of no offense, except for what Suarez did to them Saturday night. But he's doing that to everyone right now.
That's what I tried to say on the postgame show on Friday night. It was Aaron Nola is very good, and he's been very good all season long. Just ran into a great pitcher. Tony, when you're watching these games, do you have some of the same feelings of us? Yeah, you know the question. Never mind.
In terms of how? What's give me the feeling again.
When I was talking to this person, it was more of like, do you guys watch the games sometimes like us, where it's like they go into these cold streaks and you get angry about them being in a cold streak?
No. You know how crazy that would sound, me doing a broadcast?
No, I know
being
that.
Angry.
No,
well, that's,
I know that.
That's how I have to watch the games every day. Now, that being said, I think there are times where it's like, man, we just got to get something rolling.
Yeah.
But, I it's hard for me to get angry because this is a Tony thing. This is a me thing. Because I know how difficult it is. And that's even for the best guy. So there's a piece of me that is sympathetic to the situation. I'm not sitting here saying that that's how our fans need to be. Just as a former player that has done it, I just know I have that respect for it. So, I don't necessarily watch a game like mad, but I do watch the game like those thoughts rolling in my head, like, man, this ain't shaping up good, sometimes. Yeah. But, I pride myself on being a pro.
Yes.
Third best record in baseball right now belongs to the Yankees. They're 19-10. They've already been shut out 4 times this year. I'm just saying it's not exclusive to the Padres.
I know. But it does seem like when the Padres go cold, as our writer said, the cold streak is icier than Antarctica.
Well, that's because just the only team you're watching.
No, it's exactly right. I mean, if we were to watch other teams, we would find cold streaks.
It is not a lie that when, at least this year and last year, when they aren't hitting, they're not hitting. It's definitely going to look that way when 2 starting pitchers from the other team go 8 innings. I mean, it's going to look like we're not hitting.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. Next one. They get a little bit angrier as we go on. So, can you guys stop acting like this team doesn't have major issues? Can you stop acting like these players aren't some of the most coddled players in Major League Baseball? I'm almost like the old type of Padres because I never got my hopes up. Okay, that's not true, but sometimes I do feel that way. I don't understand how a team could underperform so much year after year. Sure, they went to the NLCS, and that was great, but since then they have done nothing. Do the players even care that they're looking like a failure of a team for the 2nd year in a row, Tony?
The first part, What was the first part he said?
Can you guys stop acting like this team doesn't have major issues? Can you stop acting like these players aren't some of the most coddled players?
No. I just wanted the first part first. We're going to break this down piece by piece. What is the gentleman's name? Our lady's name?
I'm not giving it.
Oh, okay. Well,
Matt Scraby.
I just want to be able to.
My friend Kevin. Ha ha.
Okay, here we go, Kev. Kev, this is what I'll say to you, man. Clearly, you're not listening to anything that I said, because I have made it abundantly clear that this team has very little margin for error, which would then tell you that I don't think that they can just roll into a game and just pummel somebody like that. I think they have to play the right way. In terms of the coddling part, I don't know how was your evidence that they have been coddled? I don't even understand what that means.
It was an irrational comment.
Okay. But listen, the first part, I don't disagree. This team is, what was his words again?
They are underperforming. The players even care? They are looking like a failure of a team.
The very, very beginning. Before coddle.
Before coddle. Oh, major issues. Stop acting like this team doesn't have major issues.
Okay, they don't have major issues, but they aren't they're not the perfect team. And so therefore, you're going to have some things that pop up. I don't know if they have major issues. Going into the season, what do we think their major issues were? They didn't have a left fielder. Through April, that's turned out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other major issue? The starting...
The back end
of the rotation?
Yeah.
I mean, Waldron's been, you know, decent for... He's been pretty good. No, he's been better than decent. He's been pretty good for a number five starter. And King has been up and down. And what was the other issue that we had at going into the season?
It would have been depth, like DH depth.
That has been put to the test with Manny. That will be put to the test now with Manny seemingly going to play more third base here at coming up soon. So we'll see. I don't think Kevin was completely off base in this statement, except for the coddle part. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'm going to make fun of him for that forever. Chris, do you care that they're looking like a failure of a team for the second year in a row?
That part of the question is idiotic. Sorry, Kevin. But yes, they probably care that they're playing poorly and that they lost three games this weekend. As far as us coddling them, I live to coddle the Padres. I think anybody who's listened to me for going on a couple of decades now knows that I am easily the most homer supporter of the Padres in the history of sports talk radio.
I can't tell if he's being sarcastic or real.
He's being sarcastic.
Of course I'm being sarcastic. Right. I get criticized all the time for being Mr. Negative. Don't tell me that I'm coddling this team. And finally, the Padres cut nearly $100 million from their payroll last year to this year, almost twice as much as any other MLB team. That is going to leave some holes, and that is going to leave a situation where they have to play a little tighter baseball, and as Tony keeps saying, they have less room for error.
Less room for error, yes.
Kevin, get a hold of yourself.
Get a hold of yourself, Kevin! All right, next one. Again, getting angrier. Chris, you're up first. I'm beginning to think Cameron Maben was right. I've been a Padres fan for 30-plus years, and I've always been positive about my team. But ever since Cameron Maben tweeted out that players may play better when fans are harder on them, it got me thinking. I was sitting at the game Saturday night while the Padres were going down hard, and I thought, Cameron Maben is right. No one boos here. No one gives the players a hard time. We kind of just sit here and take it. Chris, is it wrong for me to be harder on the players?
No, you have your right to be hard on this team. Go ahead and boo to your heart's content. But the notion that the fans have to boo in order for the team to be successful is ludicrous and absurd.
Cameron Maben did tell us
they
that,
have
though.
Been. I don't care what Cameron Maben said. The Yankees have been lousy for the last 15 years, and they get booed harder than any team in baseball. The Mets were the biggest failure in baseball last year, despite the fact that the New York fans are harder on them than elsewhere. The Phillies only recently have been a pretty good team. There were maybe 40 years of my childhood in which the Phillies were a laughingstock. Come on. Silly question.
Come on.
Pile it in with the rest.
All right. Tony, is it wrong for this person to be harder on the players?
No, I think Chris is right. They have absolute privilege to do whatever they feel. But that has not been San Diego folks. We just have never been like that. And, I mean, are we to change it now because the New York Mets fans and Nick Yankee fans are booing and having a little bit of success in April? All I know is when the rain was coming down here in 2022 and everybody was just like, just loving
it. In a euphoric state of emotion.
Perfect word for it, right? I mean, there was no reason to boo. You just were happy. And you know, that has been the San Diegan fan as long as I've been alive. Now, maybe it was different before 1982, but I don't know. I can only speak on what I've seen in my lifetime. And regardless of whether the team is good, the team is horrible, the team is mediocre, or the team is great, San Diegans have always remained the same. So take that for what it's worth.
Somebody correct me if I'm off by a touch on this, but in the 70s, Tony, before you were around and before I lived in San Diego, the owner of the team, Ray Kroc, once grabbed the microphone and said, "This is the worst team I've ever seen play baseball." I believe the team president, then Chuck Feeney was his name, once grabbed the microphone and swore a blue streak over the PA system and eventually was removed from his job because of it.
Oh my gosh.
My point is, in neither circumstance did it push the team into playing any better.
All right. Last one. Great this point. Is from Evan, and this was posted in our YouTube chat earlier during the show. And here we go. There's no real question here. I just wanted to share maybe a fan's opinion. Darvish, inactive. Musgrove, worst in baseball at the moment. King, very hittable, also terrible stats. Cease, our best pitcher. Waldron, check back later. Number five, yet to be determined. WTF is our pitching. What did we even get back for Soto? Are you all ready to talk about why we have our shortstop in the outfield and our second baseman trying to learn shortstop on the fly? Or are we still seeing how that goes?
What's going on?
I think Xander is handling it all great. And it goes on. But Evan, you know, when I called out Evan, I said, Evan's going through it on the chat. He said, yes, I am going through it. So I appreciated Evan agreeing with me about
that. I feel Evan's pain, man. I really do. I mean, first of all, he pointed out some facts, at least. Roughly, they were facts, right? Mm-hmm, Yu Darvish is on the IL.
Inactive.
Joe hasn't been good. I don't know if he's worst in the league, but okay, we'll let that one
No,
ride.
I'm not going to let him overtake Patrick Corbin. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think Patrick Corbin gave up a run the other night, by the way,
are you
against
kidding
the
me?
Dodgers.
He pitched yesterday in a 12-9 loss.
No, I'm saying when we were talking about him the other day against the Dodgers, he didn't.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I feel his pain. That's just frustration right there. We'll
totally.
Leave it at that. Because my man Toddy has a platinum glove in right field. I don't know that it turned out to be a mistake. I assume that's who he was talking about, shortstop in the outfield.
Yeah. Can you type that up and save it? Maybe
or he's talking
about
Merrill.
A month from now, see where things stand?
He could be talking about Merrill, but that would be weird because he's doing very well at the center field position.
Yes, so is Todd.
Yes, Chris, I will laminate this for you, and you can look at it every day you come into work.
Good. Laminate it for me. I want to refer to it as the season goes along.
You want to refer to it?
I do.
Okay.
Coming up, hour number two includes a Daily Gambit, also includes a look at the Reds with Mark Sheldon.